You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you have not yet previewed or taken a look at our bivocational ministry course, be sure to do that at newchurches.com/bivo. It's been neat to see the amazing reactions and the depth of conversation that's come around that course, as there's just a lot more resources that are needed around bivocational ministry. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. And that Bible course is actually a good thing. I think for us, a key thing that you and I both believe in is the importance of bivocational ministry.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think either of us should take the claim that we're bivocational, because you're working at Lifeway. I'm working at Wheaton College. But, you know, I'm preaching every week at the Moody Church. You're preaching regularly at the Fellowship of Two Rivers. And it reminds us, sometimes, at least for me, when I'm Wednesday night putting together a message, imagine if you and I didn't have jobs that we think about these things all week. Imagine you're working at the post office,
yeah,
and then you're working on Wednesday night to try to finish up your sermon. And it's pretty amazing. So just, if we know we've got lots of bivocational pastors listening. We love you. We appreciate you. My first church I planted, I was an insulation contractor and some general repair contracting, and worked full time. Never was anything harder in my whole life, but never was any more rewarding. So thank you to the bivocational pastors and leaders.
Yeah, we appreciate 100%, 100%. And you know what? I mean, I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to preach every other week at my church, but I'm not the only pastor there, right? And yeah, we have a lot of bivocational guys that they are preaching every week and they're doing everything else. So bivocational pastors are our heroes. But you know what? The last time we were together, Ed, before Christmas.
Yes.
It probably took us about 8 or 9 minutes to get into the question.
We should not do that. We should not do that.
No, let's get into the question right away and respect our listeners' time.
Yes. Yeah, unlike last time.
Exactly.
What is the biggest obstacle and roadblock to replanting a church?
John Mark Clifton is the biggest obstacle.
Exactly. Now, what's interesting is, although we're playing this in January, in December and every month at newchurches.com, we have a strategic focus where we develop resources for a particular. Yeah. So, there's thinking behind everything we do.
Yeah, but I'm not the one doing the thinking. So you should fill me in on some of these things once in a while.
Yeah. Well, the reason we interviewed Mark Job last month for New Churches, for our webinars for Plus members, was because they have 25 plus campuses, and a ton of them were actually replants, refers to them, restarts.
That was really fascinating, and he's a great interview, and his theology of reclaiming sacred space, just fascinating stuff. Very, very good, very good interview.
Yeah. So Adam, if you have not yet looked at those resources and you're not a Plus member, be sure to do that. Go through December, because we have a lot for you on this topic. But why don't we get into the question, you know, what are some of the biggest obstacles and roadblocks to replanting a church?
Yeah. So I mentioned at the beginning, John Mark Clifton. So he's got a book, and I think I either wrote the foreword to it or endorsed it or something. But in that book, he wrote it's called Reclaiming Glory, Revitalizing Dying Churches. But really it's about, and it really looks at replanting, and kind of the focus is replanting. And so what I would say is, I think, first of all, I look at some of the resources that are out there about replanting. You could just Google and find resources about replanting. But I think that the picture that we see is there are certain best practices that are there. Now, you don't always have to follow all the best practices. There are outliers, right? So sometimes a church will actually say, you know, we want to be a campus of your church. Well, that's a whole different feel in some ways. But a lot of times what we're talking about is churches that are actually dying or near death. And what they typically happen is they would close down and be restarted in an established church. And so the established church building. So I think for people who want to do that, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of good churches or denominations out there that are experiencing the death of some churches, that they can and should have a repurposing strategy, if you will, a hospice and rebirth strategy to actually, and that's what Mark Clifton's doing, a hospice and rebirth strategy for buildings so that new churches can live there. I was talking yesterday, someone was asking me about the church I planted in Buffalo, New York, decades ago. And they asked, how's the church doing? And of course, partly, you know, the reason sometimes people ask that question is they want to make sure that every church you planted still exists and is thriving because they're testing up on you.
Yeah. We did look into that when we were rewriting Planting Missional Churches.
We did.
Especially the Buffalo one. Yeah,
exactly. And so now is it Vietnamese or Hmong? I forget which, what was the primary ethnic identification now of the church? I think it was Vietnamese.
Yeah.
So as neighborhoods drastically changed, there's a neighborhood community church. And but here's the, and of course, you know, well, why we want that? Well, if the neighborhood changed, when I was there, it was primarily poor whites, maybe 70% poor white, maybe 6% poor whites, maybe 20-30% African American, still poor, and then the rest a mix. And then it's transitioned into now where, again, it's more Asian, but still a poor neighborhood. The houses were never particularly fancy by the world standards. And so what I would say is, if that church, it transitioned, but if that church died and close down, which again, I would not feel, and let me just say to church planners, don't live your life saying, well, you know, I planted a church 10 years ago and it made it 10 years and then closed. You know, there are probably three pastors between you and that. And so don't burden yourself filled with guilt because three choices are made after you're gone. And I always think that's funny because again, everyone's like, well, that church you planted 27 years ago, how's it doing? Is that, did you set it up right to do a good succession plan? Yeah, four pastors ago I did. But anyway,
yeah.
And what I would say is use those buildings, reclaim those buildings for the glory of God. Reclaim glory is key. That's what Mark wrote. And again, let me say though, get Mark Clifton's book, Reclaiming Glory, Revitalizing Dying Churches.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to put a link to that book in the show notes. But I mean, that's huge. That's huge. Even when we interviewed Jimmy Scroggins on the 5LQ podcast that I'm on as well, I mean, he was talking about, I mean, they're pretty much a replant. Right, they were pretty much a replant, and with the neat ministry that they are doing, I mean, they might have not been able to do what they're doing unless they had that established church building to begin with, right? So there are a lot of benefits to replanting, but the question was specifically, you know, what are some of those obstacles or those roadblocks? And I'll list a couple, and this comes through, it's a little bit of a checklist that we have as one of the Plus member resources for December.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it was a list of common mistakes in restarting or replanting.
Yeah, I think everyone listening to the podcast needs to right now take a moment and send a tweet to Daniel and say, hey, make sure Ed knows about these things. So, but that's okay. All right, I'm good.
Okay, all right. So You're a busy man.
Yeah.
All right. So the first one is not sufficiently valuing people's past history and heritage.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
Right. So sometimes when you go and you're replanting or restarting, even if you're going into an established church, or even if you're going into you're planting a church, but there is a group of individuals who came out of another church and they called you as the planting pastor. In all of those situations, right, you need to, and I mean, there's this thought, right? It's like, oh, I'm brand new. I can change everything that I want to. I have a year to do that. There's some people who land on that side and other people who are like, hey, you need to not change anything for a year, right? And then do all that. But whichever side you land on, the thing is you need to value, respect and celebrate past history and heritage, which is really neat when Mark Job and how Mark Job does that for all the established churches that he then replants. Right. Because he doesn't say if the church is 100 years old, he doesn't say, oh, New Life Chicago has a brand new church that we planted 5 months ago. You know, he actually respects that history.
You're dead to me. You know, I don't even talk to you people anymore. But again, I want to say, though, with caution, mm-hmm. That's a case where, and I actually didn't in our interview with Mark, I mean, it's his story, not mine. So I would actually not do that in a whole lot of cases. So let me explain why. He's got campuses of New Life. If I was starting a new church, unless there was some connection between, I would value the heritage of the old church in saying we're thankful for this. You know, I might even talk about the day that it began, the day that it closed. But there's a really important thing that you need to create as a church planner. You need to create a new identity And you need to be cautious that people don't think this is just a rebranded version of whatever First Presbyterian or First Alliance Church.
Which is why leadership change needs to happen.
In a replanting situation. I think by definition, replanting. Now, if leadership change hasn't happened, that's revitalization. I mean, if you've got a new pastor, so I really want to make a clear distinction between the two. And Mark's distinction is sort of blur because he's a big multi-site church and he sort of comes in a very positive way. And I love what he said. I love everything he said. But most of our listeners are going to be church planters who are going to get an established church building and are going to start a new church in it. What I say is actually you want to make a clean break with the past because this church has given you this building. So here's how I'd make a clean break and honor. Let me give you an example. So let's say, the First Methodist closes down. I would actually let the grass grow. I would let the lawn go unmowed. I would put the sign and say, church is closed. And then 6 months later, when, Wellspring Church begins in that building.
Yeah. So to let it die.
Yeah. So it's gone. And so what I would still say in the first service, we want to thank those who built this building and the heritage that they helped create at First Methodist. This is actually not First Methodist. It's not First Methodist rebranded. This is a new church, a whole new church, in a sense, under new management in the same building. This is a whole new church. But we're so thankful for the faithful heritage of those who, in 1842 came into this community. And I'd tell the story, maybe put some pictures up, but at the end of the day, but I remind people again, but this is a new church. There's no organizational or even organic relationship between the two, but we want to honor the past that's there. Now, just out of interest, because Mark's approach is a little different. Where would you come down on that?
Yeah, so even that, I would agree in terms of shutting it down. And when you shut it down, one of the things that I would encourage you to, in addition to, here's the new name of the church and here's the new leadership and here's the new culture that we're developing. I would budget at least $30,000 to $50,000 to do renovations in the building. Now, obviously you need to see if heating and HVAC and all that stuff is working well. I'm just talking about $30,000 to $50,000 for, upgrading the sound system, painting.
New signage, new colors, exactly.
Just so that when someone who, because likely you're going to have a lot of people who used to go to that church or maybe at one time did go to that church because, when they were a kid or whatnot, you want them to, when they walk in, I would still say, have a picture, have a plaque or have something that remembers the past, that celebrates that. But also when someone comes in, make sure that it feels different. And you need to put money in, you need to put time in to be able to achieve that as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's so good. I would say this is a key moment. And I think we're going through, in some ways, a generational shift in Christianity. And I think the opportunity here to plant churches, and I think, again, I don't want to keep going back to John Mark Clifton, but I think he goes by, I knew him as John Clifton. His name was John Mark Clifton. I think he's Mark Clifton now. I think he's like in the Witness Protection Program. But I will tell you that I've known him for probably, a couple of decades. And he's the real deal. And his focus on this is really helpful. Now, it's from the denominational tradition. He works for the North American Mission Board, but I think it would be real helpful for most. There's also a couple other books. I'm trying to remember some of them, but there are replanting books out there. So I would take a look at some of those and really get a picture and a feel for that, because I think there's some helpful resources that can help you. But again, keep in mind, this is not a transition. This is not a revitalization. This is ultimately, a restart. I wrote an article at Christianity Today that it basically, the title was as subtle as it is, "Some Churches Should Die and Stay Dead." And it's not a revitalization issue, but then replanting. So the title is "Some Churches Should Die and Stay Dead and How Replanting Could Be the Best Answer for a Dying Church." And it doesn't always mean, I go through some of these steps. So maybe in these resources that you provide there, Daniel Sangi Im, maybe you could include this in there, because I think that this is not the whole story, but I think part of the story is let a church die, let something new be birthed.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We'll definitely get that and put that in. So be sure to check out churchreplanters.com. That's Mark's website when it comes to revitalizing, replanting. And actually, Dr. Tom Rayner and Mark Clifton, they have a new podcast on revitalizing and replanting. So be sure to check that out too, because they focused specifically on that. But thanks, Adam, for leaving that question. And if you're interested in a checklist for remodeling a building, four ways to merge congregations, common mistakes in restarting and planting, and a lot of the documents related to that, that is in December 2017's Ready to Use Resources package on newchurches.com. Well, thanks again for listening, and be sure to check us out next time.